So the crop, what it means to this community, the growers, the shippers, watermelon, these people, this product is really the backbone of our community. Because watermelon is such a major crop for our economy, it's important for us to produce high yields and good quality fruit.
Everything that grows starts with a seed. Little things like blueberries, blackberries, olives, and grapes start from little seeds. But little seeds don't necessarily equal little fruits. Today, we travel to Cordele, the seed of Crisp County, Georgia, watermelon capital of the world. I came from the mud, there's dirt on my hands. Strong like a tree, there's roots where I stand. I'm David Zelsky, and this is the Fork in the Road podcast, presented by Georgia Grown and the fine folks at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Each episode, we feature stories from Georgia's farmers, fishermen, merchants, artisans, chefs, and others who help provide Georgia-grown products to folks in the Peach State and beyond. On this episode, we're headed south down I-75, past Macon and Warner Robins. Yes, that includes Buc-ee's. I just went right past that thing to Cordele, Georgia. You see it on billboards and signage all over the region. Crisp County proudly boasts the title of Watermelon Capital of the World. It's the number one watermelon-producing county in the entire United States. We've come here during harvest season and the annual Watermelon Days Festival. One of the oldest festivals in Georgia, Watermelon Days is held each June in Cordele. This fun-filled summer celebration marks the beginning of watermelon picking season with events like watermelon eating contests, hot air balloon rides, and a parade through beautiful downtown Cordele. And what would a parade be without a queen?
Hey, my name is Adae Pritchett, and I'm the Georgia Watermelon Queen. I am an ambassador for watermelon. I go around and help promote the Georgia watermelon, not only in the state of Georgia, but in other states as well. I also educate the community and the public as well about the healthy benefits behind watermelon, such as that there's vitamins A, B6, C. You can get potassium and magnesium from watermelon. And if you even eat the dried shelled watermelon seeds, you're eating 10 grams of protein, and you're also getting vitamins E from the seeds as well. So all sorts of healthy benefits behind the watermelon.
Speaking of seeds, Queen Adahi got to kick the season off by tossing watermelon seeds from one of the many hot air balloons which take flight during the Watermelon Days Festival.
We are at the the Watermelon Hot Air Balloon Festival today, and I was able to go and start our season off right by planting watermelon seeds today in the hot air balloon. So it was an interesting experience. It wasn't my first time in a hot air balloon. It was my second, but this one was definitely the most fun. It was very fun to start off our season by planting seeds.
And if you're not from Central Georgia, you may not know the best watermelons come from here in Crisp County. But the locals, yeah, they know what's up.
Not a lot of people up in Atlanta know about Crisp County watermelons because they normally go to the grocery stores and like stuff like that. But if Central and South Georgia, we all know like, oh, Cordele is the place to go, especially the farmer's market, because that is where you're going to get your sweetest watermelons from. We sell 125 million watermelons to retailers and farmer's markets as well around the United States and in Canada as well.
As part of her royal duties, the Georgia Watermelon Queen tours local farms to get a deep education of all things watermelon.
I'm honored to be the Georgia Watermelon Queen this year. It's amazing. It's a really fantastic big journey for me. I've enjoyed going to the other farms here in Crisp County, learning more about watermelons. There's a lot that you can learn, and each time I visit a new farm and new farmers, I'm learning something new every time, and I absolutely love it. I've now changed my mind from wanting to be an early childhood educator to go into ag. But I think I'm gonna still continue doing both. I'll just be an educator promoting agriculture more into my lesson plans for sure.
One surprising thing Queen Adahi learned during this education?
Watermelon is 100% edible. Not many people know that it is 100% edible, so it's nice to help educate. You pickle the rinds, and that's a great way to actually eat it. Also, you can eat the seeds. Not many people want to eat the seeds because they don't know that it's actually 1 ounce of the dried seeds, watermelon seeds, you're actually eating 10 grams of protein.
Wow. Who needs protein bars? Am I right? Huh? The watermelon is truly one of life's greatest simple pleasures. Every June, these tasty fruits are brought in by the truck and busload to the Cordele Farmers Market. Locals and travelers alike can take their pick of the over 1,200 varieties of watermelons here at the market. Watermelon Queen Adahi got to try some less common watermelon varieties that you won't find just anywhere.
And the yellow meat watermelons, which I just actually tried not too long ago. I would always see them in stores. Well, not in stores, but at the farmer's market here in Crisp County. And I'd be like, ew, I don't know how I feel about a yellow watermelon flesh. So I never tried it until a few weeks ago when I visited another farmer. And it's honestly my favorite. I'm actually going to start going for more yellow meated watermelons, but you're not going to see that more in stores here in Georgia because they actually go and export them up to the East Coast. So that's where our yellow meated watermelons do tend to go.
Crisp County is the number one watermelon producing county in the nation, and Georgia is the number two watermelon producing state nationwide.
That's the voice of Jordan Carter, Director of Sales and Marketing for Legere & Son. Located right across the street from the Cordele Farmers Market, this farm has been growing these tasty Georgia melons for three generations.
So this company was started in 1965 by Buddy Legere. He started shipping watermelons throughout Georgia, Florida, Indiana. And then in 2001, his son took over the company, Greg Legere. And now Greg's son, Cole, is a part of the company.
We'll talk to Cole a little later.
At Legere & Son, our focus is on quality, not on quantity. And while we may not be the largest shipper out there, our focus will always be on quality because our concern is that the consumer has the best watermelon experience possible.
Did I mention the best watermelons in the world come from right here in Crisp County? Pretty sure I did.
Crisp County itself is so rich in agriculture, and watermelon just happens to be its star. You know, I think a lot of it has to do with our favorable climate. We have mild winters, warm spring and summer, nutrient-rich soil. The varieties that we plant deliver a firm flesh and a high sugar content, and that's exactly what the consumer wants. So the crop, what it means to this community, the growers, the shippers, watermelon, these people, this product is really the backbone of our community. Because watermelon is such a major crop for our economy, it's important for us to produce high yields and good quality fruit. We need these things to manage supply and increase demand for watermelon. Georgia watermelons are shipped all over the world. And so what we're bringing to the consumer's table literally is a product that is healthy. It's a value on the produce aisle, and it's a versatile product.
Enormous, delicious, and packed with nutritional value, the watermelon is a true titan of the produce section. Out in the field, I got to see them in their earliest stages with the watermelon queen.
This is where the watermelon is starting to grow right there. It's a little itty bitty pod and it still has time to grow, and the flower right there is coming. I found out a way that you can pick a watermelon in the field is by looking at the vine. And then you look at this little twirled vine that's up above it. And if it's brown, it's ready to pick. But we also look to see as well of the yellow spot, the ground spot as well, to see if it's also ready to be picked.
You gotta look for the belly and the fine stripes to tell if the watermelon is ripe, and the stem as well. If that's sucked in, you know that it's cut off its nutrients and it's ripe and ready to pick. My name is Cole Legere, C-O-L-E-L-E-G-E-R. I am the quality control and field operations of Legere & Son. We've been in business for a little over 55 years. I think part of the reason Georgia watermelons are so good is just, you know, it's just one of the best states to grow them. It's got a good climate. A lot of people say the Georgia watermelons are a lot sweeter than Florida or Indiana or some of the other states. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's just what people say.
Cole gave me an up-close look at the watermelon harvesting process. It all starts here with the cutting.
And without these guys, I mean, none of it would be possible. The H2A program is a great program, and I don't know what the U.S. would do without it. And these guys come in and work hard and get it done. There's a group anywhere. I mean, crews are all different sizes, anywhere from 10 to 15 people. They call them cutters. They come through and pick out the right watermelons and cut them. And then behind that comes a loading crew, and they have four or five people off either side of the bus picking up the ones that have already been cut and loading them up into the bus. And then they're taken to the shed and packed and put on a truck and sent to a grocery store near you.
Now, there are a whole lot of watermelons harvested from these fields. Besides trucks, local farms also use repurposed school buses to get them to the market.
And where do you get these school buses? Do y'all go raid the Crisp County education system?
We don't. I'm not saying somebody doesn't, but they get them from somewhere.
It's pretty cool. Why the school? Why are they such a good vehicle for this?
Well, I guess it's just easy because they can just cut the sides off of it and all the seats, and they got a place to put a lot of watermelons, and they're easy to drive. So, and I guess schools recycle the buses, trade in, and so they use the old buses for. They recycle them, I guess, and use them to put watermelons in.
Paint them white.
That's right.
After a truck or bus ride, these melons will end up at a place just like this one, the Legere and Son packing facility.
In the field, cutters come in, cut the fruit from the vine, and then turn it belly side up, so that's that nice, creamy, buttery spot. Pickers come through, load the fruit onto the bus. The fruit is brought to the packing facility, unloaded onto a conveyor belt. The fruit makes its way down, goes through a washer, which removes any dirt. Then we have graders standing on both sides of the packing line, and they're looking for any dents or scratches, bruising, sunburn, hollow heart, anything quality issue that we see. They're kicking that back out. When it's kicked back out, it either goes into a dump truck to go feed livestock, or we may repack that and send that out to a food bank. And the U.S. number one watermelons continue to make their way down the line, and then they're graded and sorted by size, packed into a bin, and then they go to your local grocery store.
A toxic fire, a plume of smoke, and a community demanding answers. In Conyers, Georgia, the biolab disaster left residents searching for truth and accountability. This season, GPB uncovers system failures, hears from whistleblowers, and follows neighbors still fighting to be heard. I'm Pamela Kirkland. Join me for season two of Manufacturing Danger, the Biolab Story. Listen now at gpb.org/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think watermelons, a certain patriotic American holiday may immediately come to mind. Hey, Jeremy, can we have some patriotic music? Maybe fireworks and stuff? Thank you. All right, where was I? Oh, yeah, the 4th of July. Each year, watermelon harvesting season coincides with Independence Day.
It's kind of cool the time of year that the Georgia watermelon starts getting ripe. It happens to be around July 4th.
Yep, that's right. That's one of the biggest holidays for watermelon season, and we try to hit that mark to where all the watermelons are ready when everybody's buying watermelons to go out on a picnic or a boat ride or whatever they do for July 4th with their family.
Absolutely. You know, there's something about the 4th of July and watermelon that just go together. I think watermelon has that all-American quality that people think about when they think about the 4th of July.
If you're a watermelon lover of a certain age, you may notice that these days, it's actually hard to find them with a certain defining element we all remember from our youth. Seeds. Spitting seeds.
The varieties that we use, most of them are seedless. We don't use a whole lot of seeded or produce a whole lot of seeded. Seedless is definitely the favored variety, but we are seeing an uptick in demand for seeded, and I think that has a lot to do with nostalgia. And you know, you go back to your childhood and you think about eating a watermelon, it's probably seeded. But either one you choose, you're getting a great source of hydration. It's a multivitamin in itself, and you can eat the whole watermelon.
Though the seeds are edible and nutritious, Customer demand has meant that seeded watermelons have largely been phased out of the market. According to Cole, that's not the only reason seedless watermelons have become the norm.
And they're a lot easier to ship as well. The seeded ones don't hold up as well in bins, and they got to get put on a semi-truck and travel for a couple of days. And with heat like this in the middle of June, they don't last very long. They get softer. The seedless ones are a little bit firmer, rind, and are a lot better shipping-wise.
That's interesting.
Have a better shelf life as well. They're always doing trials to try to make the watermelons better to ship, just trying different things, because at the end of the day, they got to be able to last a while in order for them to last out here on the vines and then in a shed and then shipped out to a DC where they're then put on the shelves, and the quality's got to be able to hold up for the customers to be happy.
When I was young, my aunt said that if I ate the seeds, I'd grow watermelon in my belly.
That's not quite true, I don't think.
They're okay.
Yeah, they're fine. Nothing's wrong with the seeds. You won't grow watermelons in your belly.
Yes, contrary to what you were told as a kid, if you do ingest a watermelon seed, you need not worry about a watermelon plant violently bursting from your stomach, alien style.
Oh, God.
Still, the process for breeding seedless watermelons is quite an interesting one.
Here we have some seedless, you know. These are the ones that we pick and take to the shed. And there's also these pollinators right here. They're planted every fifth melon in the row. And what happens is the bees have to go and get the pollen from the seeded and then go visit the flower of the seedless and pollinate it in order to fertilize that plant and grow a seedless watermelon.
So get back down there. You just picked them both up.
Yep.
I can't tell the difference. What are you looking for? How could you tell one was a pollinator and one was not?
So this one's a lot longer and darker, more of an oblong shape, and these are a little bit shorter, more round. And this one's full of black seeds, and this one doesn't have any.
Yeah, I see the stripe pattern is a little different on these.
Yeah, the stripe pattern's a little bit different. They're just two totally different things.
Now, do you sell the pollinators as well, or do they stay?
In a while, we'll ship a few pollinators, but like I said before, they're a lot harder to ship. They don't hold up in a box as well, and they don't stay on the shelf as long.
You don't want people getting
a rotten watermelon.
Got it. But I bet if they're pretty ripe, they're pretty sweet.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely, a lot of people prefer the taste of a seeded watermelon over seedless.
If this trip has made one thing abundantly clear, it's this. If you're looking for high-quality watermelons, Crisp County, Georgia is the place to go. Watermelon Queen Adahi Pritchett is proud to have an opportunity to spread that message.
If anyone is interested in wanting to compete in the Georgia Watermelon Association pageant, it is normally in January, and the ages are 18 to 23 for competing. And then after that pageant, you have a full year to reign. And then in February, you also go and compete in nationals. You're not only promoting your own state, you're actually promoting all the state's watermelons, such as Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, which is those three are the Gulf Coast Queen, and then the Georgia, Florida, Texas, North Carolina, South Carolina, Indiana, which is Indiana and Illinois, and that's kind of interesting. And then also the Mardell Queen as well, which is Maryland and Delaware. So I'm excited to go and compete in nationals in February. Fingers crossed that I win it. That sounds a little selfish and rude, but I really love to go and promote watermelon, and I especially love going to the other states and learning how they do their things there for growing and selling watermelon. And I just can't wait to actually go and start doing retail promotions now. So.
Very good. Well done.
Thank you.
For more stories like this one, you can watch A Fork in the Road on GPB TV or anytime on the gpb.org website. That's where you'll also be able to listen to and subscribe to this podcast or download it on your favorite podcast platform. I'm David Zelsky. Thanks for listening to A Fork in the Road.